Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Sometimes I'm right, and I could be wrong. My own beliefs are in my song. Just a banker, a drummer, and then makes no difference what group I'm in. I am everyday people. Time for the morning show here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio. Got your host, James, here, joined by our head producer here at WFHR, Laura.
Hi.
Laura's with us. Happy to have you with us, Laura. And the best listeners in radio joined us as
well.
That's
you.
Oh, it's awesome. Thanks for being here, you guys. It's a Wednesday. It's a hump day. We're going to have some fun. We got a lot of good things lined up for you. The El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club is right around the corner.
Yeah.
Do some celebrating.
Yeah.
We have the percentage of American adults that are afraid of the dark.
Okay,
we'll get into that. It is spooky season after all and everything. We got to get into that. And speaking
of, are you afraid of the dark?
Nice. Somebody had to make the reference.
I had to.
Somebody. It's your generation.
That's it.
Yeah. And speaking of spookiest cities report, the spookiest cities in the country. We'll get into that a little bit. The 10 o'clock hour is going to be jam packed. We kick it off with Art Stevenson. Art's going to be joining us as representing the Pittsville Area Foundation for the Arts.
Yeah.
Cash in Hand is a Johnny Cash tribute band. We're going to talk about that with Art.
Mm-hmm. It's really exciting.
And Laura and
we love Art.
Yeah, we're just happy to talk to Art.
We always love to see Art. He's good people.
Like we could have said, Art Stevenson's going to join us. That's it. Art's going to join us.
Art doesn't need a reason to be here. Love him.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. We also have some other entertainment news to go along with that. We're going to talk a little Tim Curry, a little bit. Remember a R&B legend.
Sure.
And I got something on K-pop Demon Hunters that I had to save for you.
Can't wait.
Only one I know that can reference it. Really,
I have so many thoughts about that show. I don't care what it is.
Get into a couple of other things before we wrap up. We've got a cozy songs for your fall playlist.
All right, that sounds
cozy.
Fun.
Songs.
Cozy's excellent.
It's a good word for music. I
for
like
fall.
It. I like that. Yes, I like
that. It's cozy season.
It is National Delivery Driver Week, and that's where I want to kick things off.
Yeah, thank your delivery driver.
We begin right away with a gigantic shout out to all of our delivery drivers out there. I don't know if they include this, but I include our rigs out there, our semi drivers.
Oh, sure.
I've mentioned many times on the air that my papa was a semi driver for 50
years. Both of my grandfathers were.
And yeah, I think you've mentioned that. I don't know if you had, but I was trying to tee you up, so nice.
Yeah.
And of course, we know a couple of our listeners out there, including Kevin and some others, our
Shout
drivers.
Shout out to Kevin. It's
we
been
appreciate
a minute,
you
Kevin.
Out there. And I mean, when I was a kid, when you were a kid, whenever, they've always been an important job.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's safe to say it's never been more important.
No, absolutely.
And if anything, I think that a lot of people that may not have understood how a lot of the world works, or at least let's just look at America and how we transport things and everything.
Yeah.
That how much the pandemic really brought that home.
Yeah.
That, hey, you know, a lot of this stuff, this is how you get it.
Absolutely. But also your postal workers, man, that job is not easy, especially on a day like this. It could be raining from minute to minute and it changes. Like, these poor folks still have to be out there and deliver the mail.
Yeah, we greatly appreciate them. And,
absolutely.
If you get the chance, I don't know about anybody else. Since I was a little kid, my nan and pop at the old house they had in, I think it was in Addison, or Glendale Heights, they were really good friends with the post worker there.
Sure.
Their delivery guy.
Yeah, that was one thing my mom actually used to do. She used to be a postal worker.
I never thought about this until recently. I saw the lady that does drops off the mail at my folks' house, and we always wave to each other and stuff. She seems very sweet. My nan and papa would make an effort to do this wherever they moved, to be friends with the post mail delivery driver. I always thought that was interesting.
I always have too. I don't know. I feel like everyone should be, you know, friendly with their postal carrier, right?
I hadn't thought much about this until just now, but I didn't know if that was like lost. If it was old school, but I think
if
that's
it's
a good
old
thing.
School, it needs to come back, and it's unreasonably old school. Then,
agreed. It's nationally delivery driver week, and what better way to honor them than by talking about robots that could do their job, or possibly do their job. So that's where they wanted to go with this article, but I want to go with a little bit more of an appreciation.
Can we not? Yeah.
Well, and honestly, the reason I'm even bringing it up is because it's not very likely.
The technology's just not there yet, guys. They're just not smart enough.
And here's something
else.
Don't
sell humanity's brain power short.
You're 100% right. Not only is the technology not there yet, but here's something that I want us to keep in mind going forward with tech.
All right.
Let's say it is. Let's say it was accessible. It was something. Doesn't mean we have to use it.
No.
These things doesn't mean that we have to use them. Now, it may be in an extreme circumstance or something like that, like during a pandemic or something.
Sure. And I could hear that. But I would also say, you know, if we build up a social safety net in such a way that it wouldn't be a big deal that robots take over an entire, you know, genre of employment, so that, you know, people can still survive despite losing that job and not having that job, that would be stellar.
Shout out to Pam Yonke in the farm report that we get to have for you. Sure. Over on 105.5 every day, and she was touching on a little bit of this today. Mm-hmm. With we're importing a heck of a lot more than we're exporting because of these tariffs right now. Yep. And everything, and that is, yep, adding on our delivery drivers and, mm-hmm, the tension of that in
there's
the industry.
A lot of tension right now in that industry,
and we know by now that pretty much in order to be in charge of a company, that means that you're looking to save money and make you and your board more money,
right? And you can only do so much,
and so they're going to look for windows like this. Like, yeah, it's a lot cheaper to pay a robot than it is a human being,
right? Because you're not paying a robot.
But if we don't stand for it and we don't, you know, it, yeah, doesn't have to happen. And that's where I come to on this, because the idea of, sure, robots doing these jobs is very silly, and I don't think it's very likely. But there is this talk, delivery robots getting more and more common because of the drones. Okay. And some of that. So we're talking about little ones here. We're not talking about something that could drive,
oh, sure,
a rig.
Oh, sure, like the Amazon Prime drones,
yes,
that have been delivering
dropping off your pizza
for a while
or something. These are still jobs that I want to see humans doing. I don't think we can afford to necessarily lose that, but at, right, least it's talking about it on that level. But a new poll found 1 in 11 Americans have seen a delivery robot, and 1 in 11 don't want them. I'm sorry, 1 in 11 are all that want them. So 99% of Americans, right, don't want these delivery robots at any level.
Right. 10 out of 11 Americans are not a fan.
Yeah. 35% are opposed to the idea as well as of any type of like delivery robot.
Sure.
That said, most people in 2025 would still rather get their food delivered by an actual person. 61% prefer humans over, you know, anything else.
Yeah. And honestly, just listen to us, man. Come on.
I don't think that
I don't think they care.
No, I agree, because they're always going to, the money's going to come first. But, mm-hmm, again, I think this is one of those things where, so let's say this company is using drones.
Sure.
You don't use that company.
Right.
Like, you just don't
use
that
company. That's all you got to do.
Like, you work around. Now, I understand, again, that there are some times where you can't avoid using a certain company or whatever. Mm-hmm. But that's where, hopefully, other businesses pop up. And, yeah, they offer services that don't have a drone, mm-hmm, delivery or something. I'm not trying to put robots out of work. I don't mean
I
to
am.
Do that. But I also don't care.
They need to take a seat
it.
For a while.
I said it. I don't, look.
And that's why I can say it, because I also don't care.
I'm
not going to be hurting a robot's feelings right now.
No, I don't really care.
I don't
care. I did have in my head,
not
though,
even an AI chatbot. Don't get fooled. Those are not real feelings. Stop it.
I did have pop in my head the idea of a robot like meeting. Like that, them trying to unionize.
Oh,
a robot.
I saw a YouTube video not too long ago where it was two chatbots talking to each other. Like, one was on an Amazon Kindle and the other was on like the desktop of a guy's computer or something.
Oh, boy.
And he was trying to guide the conversation, and they just kept going in a loop about starting this conversation. They never actually, that was all it was.
That's pretty good, actually.
And, it was incredible.
What was it? We used to have where you'd get a call that you didn't want or something. You, mm-hmm, put it down and you put it by the phone,
yes,
you know, or by the TV, I mean, by, you know, something like that, so that it was just talking to the TV.
That's basically what it was. Like, this person sat down with his Kindle turned on his chatbot and his computer turned on his chatbot, and he posed the situation to them.
I love this.
It was great.
That's where that like that's what we could be you should be using AI for. It's just
proving a
strictly
point.
Just entertainment or yes, proving a point. That's it. Like that's really the end of sentence. That's all we really need it for. Because AI can't do certain things. They can't grow you the world's biggest pumpkin.
No, they cannot.
We got a California
Only
grower.
Only people can do that.
Yeah, a California grower's 2,346-pound pumpkin was dubbed the top gourd at the 2025 Safeway World Championship Pumpkin Weigh Off in Half Moon Bay, California.
I can't even imagine the size of that pumpkin based on that weight.
I am
like, is there a human near it for scale?
Yeah, that's.
Oh my word.
These when they show these, and we've seen a couple
like,
of these.
If a average sized adult human laid on the ground, it's about that wide. Mm. It's like squarish in dimensions, right? So like an average sized human lays, and that cube is about how much ground space that pumpkin is taking up.
Pretty much, yeah.
That is massive.
It's a really big pumpkin. It looks fake.
It's probably, 4 feet tall?
Yeah. It doesn't look like it can be real. That's the only reason
That's
it looks
insane.
Fake. It's not, but Santa Rosa man Brandon Dawson, whose 2,465-pound pumpkin was the runner-up in 2024's weigh-off, took the top spot this year. I believe it's
Can
the same.
Can you give me that weight again?
Yeah. That is 2,465 pounds.
Wow.
That's a lot of pumpkin pie.
That is a lot of pumpkin, just in general.
All I can think about is turning it into pumpkin pie. Oh, make the world's biggest pumpkin pie.
Out of the world's biggest pumpkin.
Did we just figure out the record we should break? That's the record we should break. The world's biggest pumpkin pie.
Well, I mean, we could, except that at Nakusa Giant Pumpkin Fest, they'd drop that bad boy. We don't
That's
get
right.
to
we'll,
make
we'll
a pie
in,
out of
we'll
it.
We'll tie it in together. We'll tie it in
we'll,
together.
We'll make them drop it on a very sanitary tarp. Yes, we can catch all the pieces.
I'll be honest with you, tarp or no tarp, I'm having some of that.
Yeah, you go ahead.
Aw, the world's largest pumpkin pie was created by the New Bremen Giant Pumpkin Growers in New Bremen, Ohio on September 25th in 2010. It weighed 3,699 pounds and had a diameter of 20 feet.
A 20-foot pie?
We could outdo that. Come on, Wisconsin. You're going to let Ohio have that record?
What are we going to do? On. Build it on a boat?
I don't care. I don't care. I just want to do it. I don't care how we do it. That's for other people to figure out, Laura. I'm a creative.
I'm the creative.
I'm not the doer.
Look, I'm the thinker.
Here's the idea.
I'm the dreamer of dreams.
Travis Gager, who won last year's contest with a 2,471-pound pumpkin, said the pumpkin he attempted to grow for this year's weigh-off ended up splitting earlier in the season.
Oh, it's a bummer when that happens.
It's interesting you bring up our friends in Nakusa and their great giant pumpkin fest that they do every year. We shout them out. They do a great job with that every year. Getting the chance to talk to the pumpkin growers that try to compete for this.
Yeah.
I've learned a lot of the rules of this. I did not know that there were so many rules. I shouldn't say so many, but there were a lot of rules to it.
Yeah, I don't know a lot of the rules, but I remember listening to the news bite that Mel did with Heather about it. And oh my gosh, that was fascinating.
They can't can't be cracked.
Yeah, they keep an umbrella over it on super sunny days and they keep a heater going in the oh my goodness.
These growers, like a lot of the like pretty much all of our ag industry, what you see is literally the surface of the work that they put into these things. They put a lot of time into
them. Thank a farmer and thank your package delivery driver.
The Weigh-Off offers a $30,000 bonus prize if the winner breaks the world record, a feat Griner achieved when he won the 2023 competition, and now he's won it again. So
Fantastic.
I can see $30,000 is a good reason to try to break a record.
Yeah, sure.
Like, that's a pretty good reason right there. You can find more at upi.com of this one for you, everybody. We'll take a quick break, come back with the El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club. It's Laura and James taking you through your morning at WFHR.
Come on, baby, let the good time roll.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, and it's time for the El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club. I like the great bumper choices, Seth. Nicely done with those. I like those. We appreciate our good friends. Nice. 3 points for Laura. Made a shot.
All right.
We appreciate our friends at El Cafe. Get on over there today, everybody, and treat yourself. They got a bitter skillet over there that sounds really good. Hot breaded pork tenderloin.
Ooh.
I love pork tenderloin. That's good stuff.
Well, and you can never go wrong with a skillet.
Check it out, everybody. They got all of that and pie. So much pie.
God, you got to try one of those pies.
Get on over there. Let me live vicariously through you. Get on over to El Cafe today.
Send pictures of your pies, please, using the Civic Media app to James.
Yes, please do. Please do. Pre-eaten. preen. I don't want to see it eaten.
No, that's just not gonna just hurt my crumbs feelings. And crust yeah, on yeah, the plate.
That's just going to hurt my.
You know what to do,
soul.
Everyone.
Get it to us, everybody. and visit our friends to get those pictures taken at 221 Market Avenue in beautiful Port Edwards.
Yeah.
And of course, we want more birthdays and anniversaries, everybody.
We sure do.
You can email us info@WFHR.com, direct message us on our Facebook pages, whether it's WFHR or WIRI. We'll mm-hmm. get it. And of course, call on up.
That's right. 715-424-2600. We'll get me and James right here, right now. But if you'd rather talk to Pam, you can call 424-1300.
I wouldn't blame you. I mean,
Neither would I.
Talking to Pam is fun.
Well, and live radio is scary.
Yes, it can be. Yes, yes. As we find out every
we're
day.
We're weirdos.
Yes. We're just built for this. That's not necessarily a good
right.
thing.
Be thoughtful.
We encourage you to get us those birthdays and anniversaries. Laura, I need a one or a two.
Two.
All right. That gives us our qualifier. So right up the gate, we want to wish happy 31st birthday to Mark and Jody Lubeck.
Happy birthday to Mark and anniversary.
Anniversary. Did I say birthday?
I think you did.
I'm sorry. I got
happy
distracted.
Happy anniversary, Mark and Jody. I was very confused why there were two names on a birthday.
Yeah, it'd be weird to have
maybe they were twins.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah. Mark and Jody, happy 31st anniversary. Especially,
absolutely. Congratulations.
I shouldn't have messed that up. Mark and Jody have been nice enough to get us this anniversary every year. I feel like we've been celebrating with them.
Thank you for listening. You guys rock.
Yeah. Enjoy your day, guys. Enjoy your day.
Mm-hmm.
And our qualifiers celebrating their 42nd anniversary, Doug and Sue Berg.
Oh, happy anniversary. Nice name.
That's why I was distracted.
It's just a little bit different.
It's a little different. They spelled a little different.
We are not related, I promise.
That's at the odds of that. It was just
but how cool. Congrats and happy anniversary.
Yeah, happy 42nd, Doug and Sue. Enjoy your day. We encourage you to brag to all your friends, family, strangers, and that you are our qualifier for today.
Mm-hmm.
Taking a look at who you share your birthdays and anniversaries with, let's see, Paul Walter Hauser is 39, good character actor.
Mm-hmm.
He is Stingray on Cobra Kai, Mole Man in the Fantastic Four, new Fantastic Four movie.
Oh, sure.
He is the voice of Embarrassment in Inside Out 2.
Yeah.
He did a really good job as Mole Man in Fantastic Four.
Sure.
That Fantastic Four was really good.
I believe it.
Kesha Cole is 44.
Oh, cool.
Keisha Cole. R&B singer, I Haven't Sent, mm-hmm. I believe that's her big hit. A fellow R&B singer who's 10 years older, Genuine, is 55.
Ooh.
Pony.
Is that's the one.
It's the one.
That's the song you know.
Yeah. And another singer celebrating a birthday that we also celebrated on 105.5 WIRI Sunrise Show, Kimberly Shopman from Little Big Town is 56.
Oh, cool.
A couple of big hits from them over
there. Yeah.
Let's see.
They're kind of a big deal.
Yeah, they are.
Just a little big town, though.
Dominic West is 56. Good character actor. You know him if you've seen him. One of those faces.
Sure.
You know you've seen him before. Prince Charles in season 5 and 6 of The Crown. He's also in Downton Abbey. And I think for a lot of us, Detective Jimmy on The Wire is where you know him a lot. Good actor. Good mm-hmm. actor. Strong actor.
Well, you don't get on Downton Abbey if you're not a good actor. I'm sorry. You just don't.
Yeah, it's very true. That's such a feather in the cap, certain shows.
It is one of those shows.
Them and everything. Let's see. Paige Davis is 56,
oh,
Trading
cool.
Spaces.
Yeah.
Eric Benet is 59, R&B Ooh. Singer. He was married to Halle Berry for a while there.
He was.
He's got a couple of good songs from mm-hmm. back in the day. Sarah, Duchess of York, is 66.
Aw.
Let's see here.
Sarah, what was her last name? Was it Ferguson?
Yes. Yeah.
All right.
Fergie used to be married to Prince Andrew. And she's been in and out of the public eye.
Yeah.
The way the tabloids are over there
in
England.
It's just really cruel. And that's us saying that.
Like, ours are pretty negative and pretty bad.
Yeah.
But there's also kind of like this understanding here of, like, I know a lot of people, you know, watch TMZ and all those things. I get that.
Right.
But there's also kind of this, like, understanding here that even if you watch that stuff, you don't necessarily think very highly of the paparazzi and all that.
No.
They've got a different standard, like, out there.
It's very different.
Like, it's almost a respected, I say that very loosely, but respected profession almost to a degree.
But in a different way, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's weird. It's different. But, hey,
all of it's
whatever.
Nasty.
It's all
nasty.
Gross, though.
And I don't know a single thing about this lady, but I don't think anybody deserves to be, like, you
the
know,
the way that she's been
anything.
Treated. Yeah.
I literally couldn't tell you, like, anything about her. at all.
But I don't know who she is as a person. Yeah.
But I know she don't deserve
that. I know what
that.
Her face looks like. I can see it in my head right now. So I remember her.
Legendary funny man, Larry Miller, 72. He was the dad in 10 Things I Hate About You. Mm-hmm. He's been the dad in a billion things.
He's a go-to dad.
He was Dean Richmond in Eddie Murphy's Nutty Professor. Mm-hmm. He was in Boston Legal for a while. Again, one of the better character actors mm-hmm. you've ever seen is Larry Miller. Also, I believe Larry Miller was a stand-up comedian, too, I think, for a little while.
That makes sense.
Richard Carpenter from The Carpenters is 79.
Oh, okay.
Rainy Days and Mondays.
I love The Carpenters. Karen Carpenter is one of my favorite singers to have ever existed.
One of my favorite drummers.
You know what? That's fair. Have that.
I love drummers that are get into, like, you can tell that they're really into it, that they're enjoying it. And like when you got to see her playing, like, she's very.
When she was allowed to just be a drummer, it was so cool to watch her.
I think part of the reason why I like and still like Meg White so much is because of
their
Karen
style
Carpenter.
Was pretty similar, actually, now that you bring that up. I've never really thought about it.
And I like. I'm not a Carpenters guy. Like, I don't have anything against them.
I've
never really listened to a lot of their music. Mm-hmm. But I love bands like that. I don't know how any era. I don't know an era that they couldn't have been a hit.
Right? Like they were just so cool. Like Karen was so much cooler than she knew. It sucked. Anyway, happy birthday.
Yeah. Tanya Roberts, celebrating people who are no longer with us. Tanya Roberts, born on this day in 1949. Donna's mother, Midge, on that 70s show. Mm. She was also Julie in Charlie's Angels.
Oh, I love her.
And she was Sheena and the Bond girl, Stacy, in A View to a Kill. One of my favorite Bond movies.
She was honestly great as Donna's mom.
Yeah.
Honestly,
yeah.
I loved that. That dynamic between Donna and her parents and her weird parents. Like, it was spectacular. She was great.
Tito Jackson, born on this day in 1953, of course, one of the members of the Five Jacksons.
Yeah, one of those Jacksons.
And one of the songwriters for the Jacksons, too. Mm-hmm. I don't know if Tito ever really got the credit for that.
No, I think that's one of those things. Most of the people in that family didn't get a lot of credit for what they did, I think.
Yeah. Penny Marshall, born on this day in 1943, one of all of our favorite directors, favorite actors.
Love her.
Obviously, Laverne DeFazio. Yep. DeFazio, I believe it was. I just love the way she used to say DeFazio. DeFazio.
That's right.
Oh, God, it was good.
Yeah, Laverne and Shirley.
It's one of the greatest shows of all time.
It
really
is.
It's a great,
one of
great
the greatest
night.
Intros of all time.
Yes.
Like that the theme song and the intro that they filmed for that, it's perfect.
To Laura's point, it was like 3, 4, maybe even 5 years ago, but I had a student, we were doing a sketch, and she just out of nowhere, she thinks of something, grabs one of the other students, this other girl, pulls her up there, she puts her arm around her, they look at each other, and they start doing the theme song.
Shlemiel.
They couldn't have been more than 18 or 19, these two, and they started doing that. Like, that theme song is eternal. You're so right about that. And if that was the end of what we say about Penny Marshall, that'd be amazing. That'd be great.
But it's not.
Nope. Went behind the director's chair and gave us one of the greatest baseball movies of all time with A League of Their Own.
Mm-hmm.
She also really, and this is Tom Hanks saying this, Penny Marshall casting Tom Hanks in Big set him up for Philadelphia, for Forrest Gump.
No, it set him up for a lot.
For all of these other things.
Yeah.
And I think some people forget from time to time, Tom Hanks was nominated for a Best Leading Man for Big. He didn't win.
But
he was
that
nominated
one,
for Best Actor for that role.
You know, he got noticed.
And she doesn't get the
that
credit
the
for Big. You know, it's a great
people
movie.
Don't think about Big like that. They really don't. It was a fun movie, but people don't think about it critically that way.
She brought Denzel and Whitney together in the Preacher's Wife. Great movie as well. But I all these movies are fantastic. It's not a good movie, but as a kid, there were certain movies they'd play all the time.
Sure.
And Whoopi Goldberg's Jumpin' Jack Flash, they would play all the time.
Yes.
And Penny Marshall directed that too.
Yes, she did.
Yes,
she did.
Also, Mario Puzo, born on this day, 1920, author of The Godfather.
Aw, cool.
One of the better books ever written about.
Sure.
And it is a fiction tale, though. It is fictional, The Godfather.
It is a novel.
If you are watching any mob movie, TV show, commercial, book,
it's not
anything,
real life. Don't pretend
it's not
it
real.
Is.
It's not real. Trust me. We wish everybody a happy birthday and anniversary out there celebrating. Keep getting your birthdays and anniversaries to us, everybody. We want to celebrate with you and our great friends at El Cafe. Visit them today. Treat yourself. They're over at 221 Market Avenue in beautiful Port Edwards. We're going to take a news, sports, entertainment, and partner break. And when we come back, what is the percentage of adults that are still afraid of the dark?
Ooh.
Coming up on The Morning Show. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Laura and James hanging out with you. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Yeah.
Got some good things coming up for you, everybody. Don't forget, at the top of the 10 o'clock hour, we're going to have Art Stevenson joining us.
Looking forward
to hanging out with Art and talking about the Cash in Hand Johnny Cash tribute band.
Yeah, it's
going to be coming to town. Looking forward to that. Some childhood fears, can feel a little silly looking back on them.
Sure.
I think that's part of being young.
Well, it's part of growing up.
Right. And I think
how many of us were terrified of bugs as kids and now are only mildly scared of bugs
as adults? Insects have never bothered me.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's part of growing up in the city and dealing with some city insects.
You had a very different insect experience than I did as a child.
But when I first moved out here and I was living in Rome, there was like no houses near my Nan and Papa's house, mm-hmm. but there was one way down, and I got to be friends with one of the kids over there, and I go over there to play one day, and we were running around the house, and he runs and he stops right away, and he's like, "Oh, cool, walking stick," and then he just keeps running, and I don't know what he's talking about, and so I look where he's looking, and I don't see anything but a stick just hanging on the side of the house,
and it's a bug, and you have no idea.
Had no idea what it was. It's the first and last time an insect has ever freaked me out, because then it started to move, and I didn't know there were bugs.
Right, you didn't know it was coming.
That was freaky.
Yeah.
That was weird. That's the only time that's ever happened to me. Mm-hmm. Any other bug I've never really been worried about. But when it comes to phobias, I've been very honest on the air. I had one for a very long time about driving.
Yeah.
I was in a number of accidents growing up. Didn't get my license until later in life, in part because of that. But it is a phobia that I killed, I destroyed, mm-hmm. and I like to bring that up because there are a lot of people out there dealing with phobias
mm-hmm.
that think that it can't be done.
Oh, yeah.
And there is no way in the world I should be driving with the things I went through and the stuff that it did to me, the way it messed with me, the way that it can trigger me.
Yeah.
But I do it every day.
Yes,
and
you do.
Don't think twice about it. It can be done.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to being afraid of the dark, it's one of those fears that I feel like nobody should have that fear.
That's fair.
I don't think anybody should have to have it.
But it also makes sense.
Completely. And
it's
not
a perfectly reasonable, understandable fear.
Whether it's clowns, it's the dark, it's the basement, it's Kevin Costner, whatever it is
yep.
that you are allergic to or you have a phobia of,
mm-hmm.
it's understandable.
Sure.
It's also, I think, it should be also noted just as much that it can be beaten. And it's important for people to know that.
Yeah.
In a new survey, 29% of American adults admit that they are still afraid of the dark.
Okay.
29% of adults.
Yeah, that sounds right.
In fact, 24% say that they sleep with a nightlight on, 10% prefer to sleep with the lights on, and men are more likely to admit this than women.
Oh, well.
And I think there's a positive in that.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, guys, it's all right to admit you have, like...
Any fear.
We need to rewrite this narrative that when you own up to things, that is manly. That is whatever you need to get to that
vulnerability
point.
Vulnerability is masculine.
Yeah, yeah.
Vulnerability is human, and it's attractive no matter who you are.
Yeah. On the flip side, 28% of people say that they love watching horror movies and love the dark. And some people enjoy being scared, so there could be some overlap between some of that as far as loving the dark and loving...
I prefer the dark because I get chronic migraines.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I usually am sitting in the dark, especially if I'm looking at a screen.
Men are more likely to love horror movies than women, 33% versus 24%. That is not my experience.
That is also not my experience.
Not mine at all. I know very few guys that like even care about horror movies, but I've known a lot of women that do. But men are more likely to admit to... Men are more likely to love the horror movies than women, mm-hmm. but men are also more likely to admit to having nightmares from watching scary movies.
Sure.
So they're more likely to do that.
I wonder what the population of this survey is.
Yeah. I feel that way with a lot of these things, yes.
Right?
28% of people say that they are more likely to wake up in the middle of the night after watching a horror movie. 22% say that they are more likely to have a worse sleep. And 12% say that they are more likely to sleep for fewer hours.
Yeah, that's all, honestly. Yeah, sure.
I don't know. This is one of those ones where horror movies, they're lost on me.
I don't mind horror movies. I just don't like gore.
Well,
And I prefer a horror movie that's actually just a comedy in a mask.
Sure.
I don't really care for actual horror movies too much.
I'm a little surprised. Horror movies have had a kind of rise in the last 10 years or so.
Yeah.
They've become more popular.
I blame millennials.
In part because of, certainly that's part of it.
Yep.
But also for production companies and everything, they tend to be cheaper.
Sure.
They tend to be a little easier to make. You don't need the star power.
Yeah.
A lot of that. And if you are fortunate enough, like, I don't know, that Smile movie or some other ones.
Yeah.
If you do even somewhat well in the box office, you can get a sequel. So you can make a chain, and you got IP.
And you get eyes on you as an actor.
You notice this right now with the It franchise. They can't stop making It movies and TV shows.
No, they can't.
They got that IP. It's popular. It does well, and they're just going to keep making them.
Yep.
And it's low hanging fruit. It's easy. A lot of people like that. But for me, I'm a little surprised by it, just because. It doesn't. I don't see anything new. I don't know the last new horror version or movie I saw.
Honestly, the only new horror movies I've ever seen are the ones that are comedies in a mask.
Yeah.
Everything else is just so standard.
The industry to me has gotten very stale.
Yeah.
It's gotten very boring, and I have not seen anything. Like, I did like some of the Jordan Peele stuff, because I felt like it was a different way of scaring somebody, a different
it
way.
It elevated the horror to a level of social, of like society, and that is scary.
I grew up seeing plenty of horror movies, but it was the suspense movies that always got me.
Yeah.
Like a horror movie never made me look over my shoulder.
I don't like gore unless it's in a comedy.
But a suspense movie, a good Hitchcock movie or something like that.
Yeah.
That'll
a thriller
do
even.
I feel like those do a better job of it.
Yeah.
Of actually scaring you. What actual scares.
Well, and the other thing about horror, like, are we counting ghost hunting movies and shows?
Oh, yeah, I don't know.
Is that horror or is that a documentary? What is that? Is it fiction? I'm sorry, it's not fiction. I'm just being funny.
Yeah,
that's my job.
Yes, it was. But it's a great question. It's a great question of like where that falls.
Right, I wonder what their parameters are.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to Aaliyah.
You brought up another good point in here too, I want to start knowing with these surveys. This is a big part of our show, doing surveys or some of these things. I want to know where they're taking these surveys. Are they done online, so it's people from all over the world, or is it in Albuquerque? Is it, you know, where are they doing the exact...
And who responded even? Like, let's say they did it online, but they only got, you know, people aged 50 and up that responded. Like, that's skewed.
These surveys, I feel like, would be a lot more fun if we just had a little more data, more details.
I want you to tell me what the population of your survey is. That's all I want.
Yeah. I do like that they usually include the number of people that they surveyed.
Which is huge. That's helpful.
That helps. That does help.
That's something.
If you are somebody that is afraid of the dark or that, you feel free to call up and let us know. Or if you've conquered that fear or something, let us know. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to hear from you about anything. It really doesn't matter. Call up and just join the conversation, everybody. We're looking forward to talking with you, and we're looking forward to coming back and getting into what are the spookiest cities. Spookiest cities in America.
Spooky.
We're getting into some of that coming up on the morning show. Welcome back, everyone. Morning show here at WFHR, 97.5 FM, 1320 AM. We are locally grown radio. Laura and James here. We're going to take you to the top of the hour. Art Stevenson going to join us at the top of the 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
Talk about Cash in Hand.
Yeah, we will.
Johnny Cash tribute band coming to Pittsville. We'll talk about that in the Pittsville Area Foundation for the Arts. But right now, we got a state report on the most ghostly sightings in America. Which state has got the most ghostly sightings in America? According to this latest survey, it is, survey says, Wyoming.
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 Yeah,
leads.
Okay. So the last time we did a list similar to this, they said Nevada. And so they're kind of in the same direction, right? The whole Western thing.
Vinta.com did this report and everything, and we tend to go through these once a year, you know, and stuff, and especially when they have a spookiest cities report. We're going to do this in October. Some of the key takeaways, Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, Estes Park, Colorado, and El Paso, Texas are some of these spookiest cities in America.
I am shocked I didn't think of Gettysburg myself.
I know.
I've been there several times. It was one of my favorite places to go when I lived in D.C. Whenever we needed to just get the heck out of the house, what we did is we actually, they have a CD version of a tour of the grounds of Gettysburg. And so I had very young kids at the time. And so sometimes if I just needed to get the heck out of the house and go somewhere where I didn't have to really bring my kids out of the car, I would go to Gettysburg and I would pop that CD in and just take a guided tour.
There's certain places I feel like I have to go to. That's one of them. I have to be
it is a really interesting place.
Wyoming, North Dakota, and Vermont are the spookiest states of 2025. Based on ghost sightings per 1,000 residents and haunted places per 1,000 residents.
Okay, so it's per capita. That's interesting.
That's pretty interesting. So Wyoming, North Dakota, and Vermont.
It's almost like a ghosts per capita count, isn't it?
Yeah, I kind of like that. That's a great phrasing. That needs to be new phrasing.
Yeah, they should have done better on that headline.
That's all over the map, too. I mean, I know Wyoming, North Dakota, not too far apart, but you know, Vermont way over on the other side and stuff. I would have expected more East Coast cities, just, again, the older.
The age. Yeah. Right, but you've also got to think of the trauma, right? Because that's how, again, that's the running theory on how ghosts happen, right? You got to think about locations that have excess trauma, and the East Coast and...
Yeah.
In the West is going to be those spots.
Searches for ghost tours near me are up 128% from last year.
Fantastic.
Wow.
Get out there.
The top cities with the highest number of reported ghost sightings are El Paso, Texas with 197.
Sure.
Austin, Texas with 115.
Okay.
And Corpus Christi, Texas with 105.
Get out there, Texas.
Texas seeing stuff.
Check out your ghosts.
Yeah, yeah. As Halloween draws near, Americans are once again turning their attention to haunted places, ghost stories, and paranormal adventures.
Cool.
From eerie cities steeped in history to remote towns.
All right.
So a lot of these areas that we're talking about here are getting a lot of traction right now.
Sure.
And taking a look at this list, so the top 10, I don't see anything in Wisconsin, but I do see Indiana and Iowa at number 9 and Indiana at number 10.
Sure.
Where does Wisconsin ranks 18th.
Okay.
18th.
That's respectable.
Out of the most haunted states.
Yeah, that's a respectable number.
Most ghost sightings, you know, that they're seeing in a
state. Yeah. 18th is respectable.
Right between Missouri and New Mexico.
You know what? Yeah, I'll take that.
So, also kind of interesting to me, Alaska is at 13 on the list.
Yeah, that sounds right.
I don't know why, but that's kind of interesting to me, I guess.
Yeah, I wouldn't have expected that. I would imagine Alaska is very haunted.
Yeah, I could see it.
I would imagine.
I just don't know enough about Alaska. So
sure,
fair. You know, other than there's not a whole lot of people.
Okay.
You know, and there's penguins. Are there penguins in Alaska?
I don't know. I'd need to research that. I don't know penguin locations around the globe, James. That's your category.
And of all the people that should know better, it should be me. That's penguinism.
Yeah,
it's cold, I'm just assuming that
there
are penguins. That's not, I need to be better. I would like to apologize to all the
penguins. You've embarrassed the penguins.
I don't mean to do that. I will waddle out of the room now.
You will, because your back hurts.
This is something, this is something that it's cool to see the rise of this being brought back.
Sure.
I think it's not surprising if you think about a lot of the context of a lot of the subjects of things we've talked about over the last 2 years.
Sure.
And this probably even dates back to the pandemic, but more and more, if people are going to do something, they want to experience.
Yep.
They don't want to just go to something just to go to something. They want an experience. They want to make a memory.
Yep.
Ghost trails, ghost walks, ghost things like that. I could see that being that kind of thing.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely.
It's
another thing I blame millennials for.
It's an acquired taste, but I get it. The other thing we've been seeing a real rise of, and I don't know if I got the numbers in or not the other day, but I meant to, corn mazes and people going to corn mazes.
Oh, sure.
Haunted
so they're doing
corn mazes.
Fall seasonal things more often. People are getting out and enjoying their community more, James. Is that what you're saying?
Is that the pattern we're seeing? Yes, yes.
Oh, are we building community, James?
Another thing to note in these is very affordable. things that they're doing.
Free things happening in this town every dang day.
It's cool to see. I have not seen the data on it, but I'm hopeful that with all of these other things that hay rides are being brought back and stuff too.
How cool.
Why would we get rid of hay? Why are hay rides? They're not going. You don't
see
them as much.
We're always
going
to have hay.
Gotta. Yeah.
I mean,
it's fun. Like this time of year.
Yeah.
Like that, you know, having a fire burn.
Well, pretty much everywhere that has a corn maze is also going to have a hay ride.
Gotta. Yeah.
They're just gonna.
Yeah.
And both of those things are a great time.
It's cool to me that not only these things are still popular and everything, but we're seeing this rise in them, especially with younger people, especially with the younger generations.
I love this. I love seeing people getting out into their community and doing stuff.
And
it's so cool.
When it comes to all of these things that we're talking about here, if only there was a local nonprofit that did something very similar, that encompassed these things. And, you know, if only they joined us on the Rapids Report routinely.
Ooh, James, is there one of those?
Well, you know, I guess, you know what? There is the Historic Point Bob.
Wow.
Yeah, I was leading up to this, everybody.
That's right. You can head on over to the Wakely House at Historic Point Bass in Nakusa for their spirit walk, right?
Yep. Coming up Saturday, October 18th, and then the next weekend on the 25th. They take groups at 6 o'clock and then again at 8:30, but you want to get there a little before 8:30.
What a great time.
The
spirit walk is so cool.
It's educational fun. Mm-hmm. It is living, breathing history. It is a museum that you can walk all around and feel and touch and smell.
They have volunteer actors coming to portray the spirits of former residents of the land in the area there. It's really, really cool.
It's a really fun experience. Mm-hmm. I believe that I was asking my mom and dad about this. I'm pretty sure it's the first like kind of event thing we did when we moved to this area was
That's
the spirit
awesome.
Walk. And I just felt, I loved it. I thought it was, it was really, it got me. It still does. I've done it at least 6 or 7 times in my life. And there's no reruns with this.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, one year I went to the 6 o'clock and then I went to the one, like it was right before 9 actually, because it was I think they did it a little bit later a while back. And it was so different. Both of them were so different, even that day, even going to a same day one and stuff. They have a lot of fun with these. They do a great job with them. Mm-hmm. And it is buying local, supporting local, helping keep history alive and well over there. And listen to this. The prices for adults, $5. For students, $3.
Yep.
If you are a Historic Point Boss member, you get in for free. That price has been the same price that you have always paid for that.
Yeah.
It's very important to them to keep those prices affordable for families.
And you need to support businesses that do that.
Yes. They have our back. Let's have theirs. Find out more at historicpointboss.com, historicpointboss.com, and encourage you to check out the Rapids Report interview with Mike and the gang. That was a lot of
fun. It's true. It was part of what we did for the Visit Rapids interview this past month.
Not only a good one there, but a good story here. And I've owned this before. I do a lot of cow stories. My youngest, Isabel, that is her favorite animal.
It's true. That's what I've heard.
So I just have a sixth sense for cow stories. And a mystery cow found wandering loose on a Pennsylvania highway was successfully roped by a man on horseback, but the bovine's origins remain unknown.
What year is this?
Yes, exactly.
What in the cowboy happened?
Yeah, the cow held up traffic Wednesday when it was spotted along the median of Interstate 79 near Cranberry Township in Evans City in Butler County.
Very cool.
Local farer Kyle Carson heard about the situation and offered his services to local authorities. He responded to the scene with his horse, aptly named Highway.
You can't write this stuff.
So many good things here.
It's so good. All right.
Cruz spotted the where the traffic had stopped, so he rode over there. And Pennsylvania State Police kind of held things off for him, and then he literally just roped this cow on the highway and brought it back.
Of course.
The video is awesome, by the way, too.
Oh, how cool.
And you can't necessarily see it. Like the definition isn't the greatest, but I have no doubt under that cowboy hat, he's got a big smile on his face.
Oh, for sure.
Like, how great does this got to feel to be doing this on a major
highway? He got to
do
cowboy stuff.
Yeah.
Like real cowboy stuff.
A shout out to the Pennsylvania State Police Department too, doing a great job of roping this off. But also, like we all know how highway life can be. It can be pretty hectic. A lot of yelling. A lot of like that stuff. Everybody very just like locked in on this cow and just wanting to
and
know how
Highway the Horse.
Yeah. And Highway the Horse. Yes. Shout out to Highway the Horse.
100% shout out to Highway the Horse.
There's no way when he named that horse Highway, or whoever named that horse Highway,
and not end up in this situation,
they could know that this was going to happen.
Also, shout out to the Mystery Cow.
Wow.
Mystery Cows happen, I guess.
Mystery Cow. Didn't see
they haven't
that on
tracked
our...
down the mystery of this cow yet.
I did not have that on our morning show.
What
bingo.
Color was this mystery cow?
Black and white.
All right.
Pretty simple. Actually, a little more black than usual.
Okay.
Just to me, at least.
Standard cow.
A little more.
All right.
It seems like the spots are opposite. Like, it usually like it's a black
cow. So it's a black cow with white spots.
It seems like that. It looks like it to me. It's something interesting. But that's a great story. You can find it at upi.com.
Yeah.
I love those stories. Can't get enough of those. Wanted to also mention that we have a great guest joining us at the top of the 10 o'clock hour.
Yes, we do.
Art Stevenson going to be here in just a few. He is joining us from the Pittsfield Area Foundation for the Arts.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about Cash in Hand.
Yes, we are.
A Johnny Cash tribute band coming to the Pittsfield area. We're going to tell you the details of that when you can check out that show. And what the I also want to talk to Art a little bit about what Pittsfield Area Foundation for the Arts is.
Sure.
Get into that a little bit with him. We'll talk about that. And of course, 10 o'clock hour is going to have some entertainment news. Laura and I are going to get into that cozy fall playlist.
It's going to be cozy as heck, guys.
Got some music for you to check out there. And plenty more coming up right here at...
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids.